What are the specifics of this UN treaty?
Well, this is a really historic treaty in a whole bunch of ways, but by an overwhelming majority, 122 states voting in favour and only one against and only one abstention, this treaty was adopted at a conference from the General Assembly, so the largest and most democratic body in the United Nations, on last Friday, and it opens for signature on the 20th of September in New York. So this is the first time that nuclear weapons, the worst and most destructive of all weapons, the most inhumane, the most indiscriminate, the last weapons of mass destruction yet to be prohibited, this is the first time that they're actually the subject of an international treaty that says these are illegal, nobody should have them, these are beyond the pale, we need to all get rid of them, whoever owns them. They're a threat to everybody, you know, as long as they exist. So it doesn't immediately get rid of the weapons. It's a necessary but insufficient condition to eliminate the weapons, but it's certainly a very crucial step, and it's been an awfully long time coming. The first resolution of the UN General Assembly back in January 1946, you know, called for the elimination of nuclear weapons, and here we are 72 years later, and the banning part has just finally been locked in place.
A lot of people already assume that nuclear weapons are illegal, and they immediately jump to mind is the Non-Proliferation Treaty of 1968. Why are other countries pushing for this treaty even though the NPT exists?
Well, the NPT is a very interesting kind of bargain, and it sort of got three bits to it. As you mentioned, it was negotiated in 1968, entered into force in 1970, so almost half a century ago now. And essentially in that treaty, the five states that had nuclear weapons by that time, which was, you know, the victors of World War II, the permanent five members of the Security Council, US, the then Soviet Union, now Russia, China, Britain and France, agreed to eliminate their nuclear weapons in exchange for the rest of the world not acquiring them. And those that didn't have the weapons, you know, wanted some kind of sweetener for that. And the sweetener was that they would get assistance with peaceful uses of nuclear energy. So that was the sort of bargain of the NPT. But of course, you know, disarmament hasn't happened, despite the fact that we're now nearly half a century later. And what's more, there are no talks about talks. You know, disarmament is absolutely stuck. All of the nuclear armed states are not just not getting rid of their weapons, but actually massively investing in modernizing, upgrading, updating them to make them even more lethal. So they're certainly not keeping their side of the bargain. And the problem with the NPT disarmament obligation, even though it's very important because it's legally binding, but it has nothing, you know, no details attached to it. It's just a commitment and obligation, on, in fact, on all states, not just the states that have the weapons, to negotiate in good faith to achieve nuclear disarmament. But it hasn't got, you know, any benchmarks, any timelines, any sanctions if they don't do it by a certain time. It hasn't even got an organisation, a secretariat, you know, to follow up in between meetings. So it's got none of the detail that you would need to actually eliminate the weapons. And, of course, you know, the relevant article in the treaty, Article 6, the disarmament bit, you know, says exactly that negotiations need to happen to get on with all of filling in all that detail. So there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the NPT, it's just that it remains largely unimplemented, particularly on the disarmament side. I mean, the states that don't have the weapons have largely kept their side of the bargain. The only state that developed nuclear weapons while it was a member of the treaty and then withdrew, because you can withdraw with only 3 months' notice, was North Korea. India, Pakistan and Israel that also developed nuclear weapons have never joined the treaty. So we now have nine nuclear armed states, five of them in the treaty. But there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the NPT, and you know, this ban treaty that's just been agreed is exactly what the treaty envisaged, that further negotiations would happen to actually implement that commitment.
Australia is a host to a number of different treaties, prohibit and provide elimination of biological weapons, landmines, cluster munitions. Why is Australia not getting involved with this treaty? Why have we boycotted the negotiations?
A very good question, Jack, because as you say, you know, we've signed on to pretty much every other treaty that limits weapons, and especially the ones that are inhumane and indiscriminate. The other weapons of mass destruction, biological and chemical weapons, which have treaties that ban them and provide for their elimination, and the, more recently, the treaties that ban and progressively eliminate cluster munitions and anti-personnel landmines. And on some of those, Australia's actually been a leader, particularly the Chemical Weapons Convention. Australia played a very active and commendable role on the Arms Trade Treaty, concluded just a couple of years ago. You know, we also played a pretty useful role. So Australia's not just not joining this treaty, but really actively opposing every step of the way. Australia's been really one of the chief blockers of trying to stop this process. Really sticks out like a sore thumb. And that's, you know, they say that the sort of publicly stated reasons are varied, but essentially they say that, you know, now's not the time for this treaty, that the time to ban the weapons is after we've actually gotten rid of them, which is sort of like saying we'll support disarmament, you know, once it's happened. And that, you know, the step-by-step process of, they particularly cite the entry into force of the treaty banning nuclear test explosions and the entry into force of a treaty called a fissile material cutoff, which would stop production of the for military purposes of the materials that can be used to make nuclear weapons. They cite those as, you know, the and, you know, reductions by the states with the biggest stockpiles, Russia and the US, as the way forward. But of course, all those things are fine, but they just haven't happened, and you know, there's no sign of them happening anytime soon. The real reason, however, and they've said this publicly, and certainly ICANN has obtained, you know, multiple bunches of documents under freedom of information of internal communications of the government, and it's very clear that the reasons they oppose this treaty, the fundamental reason is that we claim to rely on US nuclear weapons to provide for the security and prosperity of Australia. And frankly, therefore, we can't say that nuclear weapons can't be used under any circumstances, because we actually say that, you know, there may be a time when they need to be used in our defence. So it's pretty hard to be serious and taken seriously for disarmament, getting rid of weapons that you actually claim, you know, you need. And that's why Australia's disarmament credibility is really at rock bottom on this, and why we've been on the wrong side of history, and unfortunately at the moment still are.